Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? The weather is just lovely. It makes such a difference when the sun comes out, doesn't it? It's been kind of chilly this week, but really nice and warm in some parts of the UK. So I feel very blessed to have been able to get outside a little bit. And whatever you've been doing, I hope everything's going well for you as things start to open up a little bit. I'm really conscious that I had said that I was going to do something around that because, you know, quite a few people have said to me they are a bit nervous of the getting out again thing. So I am going to be doing an interview and doing a piece on that. And we're going to do a Q&A in the Sober Club because, people are a little bit nervous. But, you know, by the same token, it's exciting that people feel they can now get out and share their newfound sobriety or not, as the case may be. Sometimes you have to just keep it to yourself to start with. A couple of members of the Sober Club have had their first holidays, you know, sort of little trips in a motorhome or somewhere, going somewhere to an Airbnb. And, you know, it's a big hurdle because that very first holiday you have when you've ditched the booze, it can seem like such a mountain to climb. All those old associations of sort of getting somewhere, cracking open the booze, it feels so ingrained, so part of it. But, as you know the mantra by now, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. Absolutely choose to have a glass of something nice when you arrive, if that's what you always do. But make it something alcohol free. And on that note, we've teamed up with Crossip Drinks. This is such a nice drink, unusual. And I love sharing these brand stories with you of brands who've just come up with unusual drinks. And it just adds to the amazing collection that people have available. You know, this kind of thinking of, oh, I'm not drinking anymore, so the only option open to me is an alcohol-free beer. No, certainly not. That really is not the case. And I think it's been interesting. I think lockdown has changed that in some ways, in that, you know, the kind of at-home market has become so much bigger for many of these brands. So while they may not be in all the bars and the pubs and clubs yet, there certainly is more choice available. And you know, and it's been great to see so many people who, I mean, I genuinely do get loads of emails from people who say, I finally did it. I stopped drinking in lockdown and I really don't want to go back to it now, whether or not my friends are boozing it up, you know. So anyways, on the show today, on this week's podcast, I'm going to be chatting to Angel, who is a Sober Club member. I thought it'd just be lovely to bring someone's story. She's a singer-songwriter. You'll get to hear all of that on the interview, so I won't share too much. But I just think it's really nice to hear from different people and know what's been going on and how they've dealt with things, because, you know, we're all different, right? Had an amazing response, by the way, last week to Dr. Adi Jaffe's interview. That really shook some feathers, I think, because, you know, he has got quite a unique take on everything. And I don't know, I think it was great for people to hear that interview and to hear someone like Dr. Adi talk about the fact that, you know, we beat ourselves up too much. We're so hard on ourselves. I mean, actually about everything, but certainly about drinking. And actually, we need to see this as a process, see this as a journey. And if you're one of these people who have ditched the booze and then you've relapsed, I hate that word, but, you know, tripped up, I mean, of course, it's not ideal. Of course, we want to stay on the path that we've chosen. But it's also completely human and completely normal and natural that when you're doing anything hard, you might trip up. But it's a case of just, you know, up you get, back on the horse kind of thing. And definitely don't see it as a failing in your character. I think this is one of the things that I've been talking about a lot this week is, it always tends to go in waves. I'll have a bunch of clients and they've all, it kind of just works out that they all have the same underlying issue running through. And this week, certainly the last couple of weeks, it's been very much this thing of, well, it's the I'm not good enough piece. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm the failure. Putting these kind of identities on ourselves, which is what so many of us do. And actually, they aren't these things that we say to ourselves. It isn't who we are. It's just a limiting belief. It's just something that's been laid on us, perhaps from parents, perhaps from teachers, maybe by ourselves. And we kind of carried it along like that kind of baggage that we hold on to. But actually, you can get rid of those limiting beliefs. You just have to notice them first, of course. That's part of the gig. But anyways, if you didn't get to hear last week's podcast with Adi Jaffe, do have a listen. It's really worth a listen. Back to today, anyways. So we're going to be chatting to Angel. And before we do that, in that fabulous spirit of keep the ritual, change the ingredients, let's hear from Carl. My guest on the podcast is Carl Anthony Brown, absolute top telly star and entrepreneur and founder of CrossFit Drinks. Carl, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into all of this stuff, because you've been in the kind of drinks world for a lot of years.
I have, yeah. I fell into it. I say fell into it. When I turned 18, it was when everyone's first thing was, as soon as you turn 18, you can go to drink, you can work in a bar. Whereas I think that's changed nowadays. It's not that, you know, you're thinking of going to university and stuff, being sensible. I jumped into a bar, started bartending, literally as soon as I was 18. And, you know, I went off to uni and studied, and I used to play quite a lot of rugby. So I traveled around the world playing rugby, which is cool. But I always came back to bartending. And then, sort of in my early 20s, I sort of went, actually, do you know what? I've studied design and things like that, but actually where my creativity, I feel, suits me was actually using my hands. And it just happened to be using my hands, but with drink. And it was that flavor profiles. And I was like, I really love this. So I kind of got into bartending, like properly into bartending then. And then I've worked for a number of great bars. Probably most notably, I developed the whole drinks program for Dishoom. Which is just an amazing Indian Bombay restaurant. And
And they have fabulous low and no alcohol alternatives.
Thank you very much.
Well, trust me, we're very impressed. It's one of the few restaurants that we can kind of recommend people go to because it's so obviously there on the menu. Most places, you know, I'm constantly telling people where you need to ring ahead and just check if they have got anything.
It was just a really big part of when I created their menu and, you know, developed their drinks program. It was just vital that there was an option. And then I'm from this sort of thought process of going out drinking and socializing, that's supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive. So everyone should feel welcome. But if you're not, if you're not drinking, and people, the place that you're at don't care, you don't feel included. Here's your pint of Coke. there's only so many of those you particularly want to drink, especially when they're the same price as a boozy beverage. So I was just like, well, I've got to work on this. So to assume it was a real big focus of mine to make sure that those drinks had sort of enough to them to make you feel like you were enjoying something, in the same genre as if you were drinking an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happened next for you then? How come you decided to actually create your own drinks?
So I created a liquid, a base liquid for the Dishoom drinks.
For them to put in their cocktails kind of thing?
Yeah. So it was just like, we can do sort of that. I hate the word, but, you know, the mocktail style.
I know what you mean.
So it's the ones, it was the drinks where they're pretty much just juice and sodas and things like that.
Yeah, they're so sweet, aren't they?
Exactly. And, you know, you can balance those out still, but you still end up with pretty much like, I've just made a, you know, fresh lemonade, if I'm honest, sort of thing. So you've got the mocktail stuff like that. And then I was like, well, I want to make something a little bit more, you know, towards an actual cocktail. You know, I believe cocktails are flavour, so that's what it should be. And I made a base liquid for them, which sort of was the first point of what CrossFit was. And for them, it was, you had to be a very, very good bartender to work out how to use it. Right. if you didn't know what you were doing behind a bar, if you didn't know anything about flavor, you could really make something quite horrible flavor, horrible tasting. So I did that, and it was always in the back of my mind. Then I moved on from Dishoom and just did a few different alcohol roles. And my roles have always been, you know, drinking. So I can't say I'm a non-drinker. In fact, I'm not an advocate of being sober. I'm sort of an advocate of being balanced. So
being able to choose.
Yeah, you know, like we shouldn't go out and get absolutely smashed. It's a stupid idea. You know, have a balance between, you know, and control yourself and things like that. But so it was always in my mind. I was like, you know, I can take this further. I can make this something available for everyone. And then at the start of 2020, I'd be working on the flavors. I'd be working, developing the liquids. And I met my two business partners. And they just went, no, we're going to back you. And we all believe this is something. And we sort of turned the liquid I'd been working on for 5 years into CrossFit as we have it now.
Amazing. So what was your aim with CrossFit then, that people would drink it, you know, again, as a mocktail, you know, as an alcohol-free cocktail, to have other stuff added or just over ice? What was your thinking?
I wanted it to be both. So one of the changes, obviously, with 2020 being the year it was my background is bars. And so I was expecting it to be a quite simple process.
Yeah.
Well, not simple, but I mean, I was expecting to start phoning some friends, speaking to people that I know, like, you know, friends, friends of friends and things like that who work in the drinks industry, slowly get some bottles out there into bars, them to create cocktails, which would be amazing. And then we can slowly see it start to grow like that. Obviously, with 2020, it was like, well, that's not doing that. So I'm going to go straight to the consumer, which is a much bigger challenge, because the liquid I designed is about mixing it.
So
I was like, okay, well, this is a bit of a challenge. But luckily I had designed the liquid to be both mixed in a cocktail, but also drank just with a mixer to make it very simple. But I took it, I've done the liquid quite different from, I think, some of my competitors and things like that. Obviously, I'm a bartender at heart, so and to be fair, a lot of the other ones out there haven't been created by bartenders, so I've approached it slightly differently. So I've approached it from the finished drink. So I was thinking, like, you know, what do my clientele want to drink? You know, what's popular? So a favorite drink of mine, and, you know, a really popular one was a White Lady. Which was sort of like, you know, it's gin, lemon juice, Cointreau, you know, really simple, really nice, really beautiful classic cocktail. And then that kind of also is a similar base to a Cosmopolitan sort of thing. And I'm like, that sort of White Lady Cosmopolitan thing, I want people to be able to drink that and feel like you've got that. I don't want to say that feel like you've got that alcoholic kick, because that's kind of wrong. I want to like feel like you've got that real mature beverage. You
it's
know,
a real
in the
depth
coupe.
Of taste, isn't it? In
exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want people to do that. And then spritzes are obviously very popular, especially when it's sunny. And I was like, well, I want people to be able to drink a spritz, you know, a proper spritz, and feel like they're really enjoying that, you know, that summer, you know, big wine glass spritz. And then the last one, I was thinking, you know, I love smoky drinks. One of my favorite drinks is a drink called a penicillin. And I was like, oh, you know, I want people to be able to enjoy something like that as well. So I ended up going, do you know what? I'm going to create three flavors that I believe can create the most styles of drinks. So I created one citrusy, one bitter, and one smoky that I feel that you could then turn into the most drinks. So we've got pure hibiscus, which is bitter, fresh citrus, which is sour, mandarin, you know, all fruity, and then dandy smoke, which is smoky. And they're not to copy any alcohol, but they were so that you, if you liked drinks of that genre, you could recreate those. And then very simply, if you just didn't want to get too, you know, fancy, and you just want to do something simple, I wanted to go, well, if all I've got is some basic mixers, can I just turn this into something really easy? and they're perfect. You know, you've got the fresh, if you're fresh citrus, you just grab a bottle of tonic, pour some tonic in there, and you've just got this lovely fresh, you know, I'm not going to say it's like a G&T because I haven't copied gin, but if you were a G&T drinker, it is the thing that you, it's a go-to for you. Yeah. Especially if you're a flavored vodka drinker, that kind of thing. If you like your flavored vodka mixed with some sodas, again, it's that for you. Mm. The same with the pure hibiscus. It was like, you know, all you've got to do is add some soda and you've got this perfect, perfect spritz feel to it.
So
it's just to make it sort of very easy for people to go, the flavors are here and you've just got to release them by mixing them with something.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you've obviously worked so hard on these flavor profiles, and but also, you know, you've kind of taken into account the fact that, I mean, the drinks are actually healthy. You know, you've got some ingredients in there that, you know, you point out are actually good for you.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, you know, I'm never going to make any kind of medical claims for the liquid or anything like that. But the whole point is, you know, how can I've approached it from, I wanted to use raw ingredients and I wanted to make it, you know, from scratch, which, you know, looking back is really hard way of doing it. but yeah, no, it was really important that I sort of wanted to get something slightly healthy in there. Just, you know, what can sort of bring this along? But it's also, you know, things like using different spices and things like that. They, you know, health tablets and things, use that all the time to sort of balance your metabolism and things like that. So it was like, well, I might as well combine these in a sensible way that I can have great flavor.
Yeah.
It's going to be positive for you to drink, and, you know, bring something extra to it.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of the alcohol, then they don't start life with any alcohol and then it's removed. There's zero alcohol. Yeah.
No, this is you know, that was very much from my sort of Dishoom background. Was we had obviously a lot of Muslim guests where alcohol is just a no-no, and that that's not like it can't have alcohol at the end. That means that there cannot be alcohol. So I was like, well, if I'm going to approach this, I need to approach this from that point of view. I want this to be available to everybody.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of things out there that just aren't, but no one actually says anything. Which I feel like it's a little bit, you know, for me it doesn't matter because I drink, but yeah, I do feel it's a little bit wrong. It's like you're saying it's no alcohol, but actually it's been made with alcohol. So yeah, whereas I approached it going, I've got to do this without alcohol, which was sort of my first big hurdle, really. It was like, how do I extract flavor without alcohol? Because alcohol just makes it very easy.
Of course. And what about the sort of, you know, people say, oh yeah, but how sweet is it? What about the calories? You know, those kind of questions.
There are calories. It's very, very low. I can't remember off the top of my head what they are. I do have some bottles just there. So, but the calories are super low per serving. I actually use an inverted sugar to make the base. So it has some sweetness, but it's not sweet. Mm-hmm. It's not sugar. It's an inverted sugar. So it's, I mean, medically, you should still definitely check with your doctor if you're diabetic or something like that, but, it shouldn't raise insulin levels because of the way it's been made. They do have this slight sweetness to them, which I can't say is sweet because that's not right. You know, the overpowering flavors of each one, you know, the fresh is slightly sweet because it's got fruit sugars in there because it's made with fresh fruits. But yeah, so there isn't really any sweetness. It's just this sort of this baseline. But that's actually very useful in part of when you're creating your drink from it.
Yeah.
It means that you can balance your drinks really easily. All you've got to do is add like a touch of, if you go, I need this a little bit drier, it's like, okay, sweet. All I've got to do is add a touch of lemon juice and you've completely sort of rebalanced your drink.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And why the name?
You know, Crossip came around because words are all taken. So someone, you go, oh, I've got a great idea. And then someone goes, no, I've already used that. And you're like, oh. So myself and Tim, my business partner, we were like, well, we're going to have to make up a word. But then it's got to be relevant to us. So we're just throwing words at each other. And somehow we were just talking through sort of drinking, sipping, fitness, CrossFit, yeah. And neither of us do CrossFit either. So, but we were just like throwing all these words, and then, you know, just somehow came across this CrossFit, this word just sort of came together, and we were like, yeah. You know what, actually, that's perfect. And because the liquid itself is all about living, you know, living your life without any sacrifice. It's like, I'm flavor positive. Everything for me is about flavor. So when I drink alcohol, I don't go out to get smashed. It's just not my thing. I drink what I want to taste. I want that flavor, and I want that flavor to taste perfect. The point of creating a non-alcoholic like CrossFit is so that you have depth of flavor. It means that you are not sacrificing anything. But the other side of it is, tomorrow morning I want to wake up and, you know, I've had a few CrossFits in the evening, I can wake up in the morning and go to the gym, or
go and do the CrossFit.
Yeah, or if I've got a big business meeting, yeah, exactly, or something like that, it's like I'm there, I'm awake, I'm not hanging, you know. Yeah, it's like, absolutely, that's what it's about, so that you can sort of cross over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great, and your bottles look great, your branding's lovely.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're really pleased with that. I wanted
it was quite tough actually doing the brand, because it's you need it to be able to sit next to spirits and feel like
make it look
adult,
exactly,
drink.
Yeah,
you'd kind of want to not make it look like it's not for children, because technically, absolutely, yes, children can drink it, but it's not really aimed at them. So it was trying to, how do we work this out? So we sort of went, you know, the liquid itself we call unapologetically bold. And then we've kind of done the same thing with the branding. We've kind of got this slinky art deco design, but then gone colouring of unapologetically bold with it. So
brilliant. Love it. So just tell us where we can find more then, and buy the drinks. I mean, I'm guessing at some point they'll be in the bars.
Yeah, they're in the bars. We've had a good weekend there. So there's a few bars in London which have started stocking it. So you've got Heads and Tails and Cocktail Trading Company. So West Hampstead and Shoreditch have already got it. You've also got it in Homeboy, which is amazing. And they've just opened their new bar in Embassy Gardens. So there's a few places in London that are sort of starting to get it out there. And then the easiest way to get hold of it is definitely on our website, so crossitdrinks.com. So you head there, and we've got like nice bundle packs for you. So if you are sort of new to mixing drinks, we've already sort of put together some really great mixes that work well with it, so it's very easy for people to get started on having some drinks. You can also get hold of it on Amazon, and then there's a couple of online retailers, so like Spirits Kiosk, you can get hold of it. So there's a few places out there.
Brilliant.
Which is great.
Excellent. Good stuff. Thank you, Carl. It'd be great to interview you maybe in a year's time. And you know, I mean, obviously the whole non-alcoholic and low alcohol drinks industry has completely taken off, hasn't it? And won't it be fascinating to see what happens in a year, you know?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just seeing it. I'm being part of it, obviously. I think one of the biggest things is that we're starting to see, and hopefully will continue, is the same as with the drinks industry, the alcohol industry, where you've got different genres. You know, you've got liqueurs, you've got spirits, you've got your RTDs, you've got your, we're starting to see that now in the non-alcoholic. It's like, you know, what are you looking for? And there is actually different options out there. You know, do you want your sort of copy of botanical liquid, which is sort of a copy of a gin, or do you want something like CrossFit, which is much more flavor led? You know, it's about that big body, you know, so.
And as you say, won't it be great when, you know, there's so much more choice in venues, so that you have that, as you say, inclusivity, you know? I mean, at the moment, I know it's changing a bit, but before lockdown, you know, if I ever went to sort of functions, I mean, that was absolutely hopeless. There wasn't a chance of getting anything. I think that's the area that's really got to change.
Oh, definitely. I mean, my hope is that we actually see, my real hope, it would be to see menus that are flavor-led menus, in the fact that instead of saying, you know, cocktails and then mocktails or low and no or whatever, it's just they're all mixed in together. And you're choosing a drink by the flavor. If you go, I really feel like a, you know, a sort of a hibiscus spritz, you could go and pick off a cross it pure hibiscus spritz off the menu, and it wouldn't matter to you that that's zero alcohol. It's like it tastes like it's a mature flavor. It's got the body, it's got the depth, and it's just a something that you're going to enjoy. That would be a nicer way, I think, to see menus.
Definitely, perfect, love it.
Sort of subconsciously controlling people's drinking who are maybe overdoing it as well. So it's like, oh, I'd just chosen the flavor. I didn't happen to have any booze in it.
Yeah, so it'll become just so much more normal to not drink. Just as it is to drink.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, it really is. Like, if everyone can be included and have just a great time, that's the best way, isn't it? You know, that's great vibes everywhere.
Brilliant. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And thank you for the great competition that you're doing with us as well. Really appreciate it.
Very welcome. I hope everyone enjoys it. So.
Thank you. So we've got that fantastic competition to win some Crossip. I think you'll really love it. Make sure you look at the show notes. Go to thesoberclub.com and a bunch of competitions at imperfectlynatural.com as well. So there's lots of opportunities to find the links. Don't forget, by the way, that we have our Champneys retreats coming up. There's one at the end of May. I'm pretty sure that's fully booked. Then we've got one in June and we've got one early September as well. So if that's your thing, then have a look. It's at Champneys in Tring. It's self-care and sobriety. Perfect for you if you're day one or year six. It doesn't matter. That's very much my thing. Is I'm not going to separate these stages, because I think, you know, there's the whole thing is the holistic picture. We're looking at the whole picture. You know, finding your purpose comes into it. Doing things that you used to love always kind of tends to come into it, I find. I don't mean on our weekend, I mean generally. But on our weekend, we do some fun stuff too. So check that out. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find it there. Also, I'm going to be hosting some one-day, I suppose you could call it a retreat, by the sea. Through the summer, so there'll be more on that as well very soon. So without further ado then, let's hear what Angel has to say. My guest is Angel Malibu, Sober Club member. Welcome, Angel.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's so lovely to chat to you. I think that I spoke to you very briefly at the beginning of your sober journey, and then I read some of your posts in the Sober Club and thought, oh wow, she's completely got it. it's clicked.
Yes.
And so I thought it would just be so lovely to share that with people. There'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast who you know, are still in that stage where they're thinking, I'm never going to be able to do this, I'm never going to be able to ditch the booze. And I think that might have been how it was for you at the beginning. But anyways, before we get into all of that, just tell us a little bit about the work you do, and then we'll go a bit more into your story, because you've got a very fascinating career as well.
Yes. So I am a singer-songwriter and a storyteller, and I share songs that are real life snippets from my experiences and my inner emotional journeys.
When you say you're a storyteller, what does that mean? How do you tell your stories?
I share them in my songs. So my songs are really deeply truthful. And then I also, when I'm performing live, I talk about my experiences and the songs and the meaning behind them, and how I'm feeling in that moment as well. So
So when you decided to ditch the booze, then it was more than just something you were doing personally. Probably part of you knew that some of this in one way or another was going to end up coming out in your music.
Do you know, I didn't know that. And if I'm honest, when I began to ditch the booze, I couldn't tell anyone. It felt really hard. It felt like a secret.
Yeah.
And I'm only just now, I mean, doing this with you now feels like a big step.
Because you're coming out. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm coming out. And last week I shared on my personal Facebook page that I was 200 days sober, and it felt like a big step.
Yeah, amazing.
Because you feel like you're opening yourself up to judgment.
And
you don't know what you're going to get back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do feel now, with the strength that I have, that maybe one day I'll write a song about this. It's not been on the cards as yet.
Right, interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, you're absolutely right, and I've spoken about it many times, that bizarre sense of shame that we feel and sense of fear about sharing. It feels so private. And in a way, that's good, I think, at the beginning. Not the shame part, but the privacy, I think, is good at the beginning, because I think if you do start spouting it too much, you then open yourself up to a lot of other people's opinions and lots of other people saying, oh, well, you're all right. You know, you can just have one. And the spiral often starts again. You're quite right. Anyways, take me back then to just over 200 days ago and tell us a bit about your drinking career and then what changed for you. I mean, as a musician, did that play any part in it? People always ask me that question, you know, having been in bands. My answer is usually, I don't think there's any more drinking in the music industry than there is in any other industry, except that it's free. What about you?
Well, actually, so 200 days ago, 205 days ago, I was like, I just don't want to be waking up feeling like this anymore. I am so done with this. I had just come out of 3 months drinking after 6 months not drinking. Mm-hmm. So I had made the decision, you know, 9 months before, I'm not doing this anymore. And I had succeeded for 6 months and I was feeling really good. And then my dad passed away. And on the day that he passed away, my sisters wanted to toast him. And I took the dog for a walk to think. And I was walking around in circles thinking about this. And I thought, I just don't want this battle today. Mm. I've got too much on my mind. I want to feel like I'm with my sisters. I want to be together. Mm. And so I decided to drink. And I didn't regret that night. I felt like we were together and I felt like I'd removed the worry. But that led into it building up again. To kind of every weekend and then midweek, and then 3 months later I'm waking up with the hangover from hell, throwing up the next day. Why am I back here? Like,
and you've got young children, haven't you?
Yeah, as well. I've got children and I've thrown up the next morning, exactly. Mm. And you're just like, why am I back here? Yeah. This isn't where I want to be. Mm. So I recommitted, and I'd heard about the Sober Club and I'd heard that there was a deal on, and if I signed up that I would be able to access all these free resources. It just sounded like perfect match. Let's do it. So I signed up. Mm.
But just let me take you back for a moment to, you know, what you mentioned there is so fascinating about how you'd stopped drinking. So presumably you were reaping some of the benefits of sobriety, you know, the first time around, and feeling better. And you know, your head was getting straighter, as it were. And yet, you know, that massive event, you know, of your father, of someone passing close to you, that awful grief took you back to the thoughts that alcohol was the answer, didn't it? It's interesting, isn't it? The power that alcohol has, that we feel that it is that social glue. We feel as though we can't, but as you said, you wanted to be with your sisters. And it's so common. We feel that we can't socialize. We can't be connected without alcohol as that social glue. It's literally a social glue. Now, looking back, I can see how ridiculous that was. But I know that I went through years of that. Isn't that fascinating that it had that much power?
Yeah. I mean, really, one of the main things on my mind was, I don't want this battle in my head right now.
You don't want to have the conversation.
I don't want to be arguing with myself today. Yeah. And the second one was, I want to be with them. I don't want to feel different.
Yeah. But I mean, logically, how can it matter what's in your glass? You know, it's the same as if you'd have been having, I don't know, a meat dish at the funeral, but you're vegan, you'd still be having the meal with the people you're with. It's just something different in your bowl.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
It is. And I remember our first coaching call, and I just couldn't see how I was going to stay connected to my friends.
Yes, that was the big thing. That's what you were asking. Yeah,
I just don't see how I'm going to be able to stay connected to everybody if I'm not drinking. I couldn't see that. Mm. And our conversation, our coaching call was fantastic. And I felt pepped up. And then I had the sober course that I was working through, the modules and the WHOOP.
Yeah, which for anyone who hasn't heard is set your wish, your outcome, your obstacle and plan for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my wish was to be at peace with being alcohol free. That's what I really, really wanted. Mm. And my outcome was what I was hoping for, that I could be joyful sober. That is that even possible to have a joyful life sober? And the obstacle for me was the fear of missing out and the fear of disconnection from all of my friends.
Yeah.
And that felt
how did you plan for it?
Very real.
What did you put in place then?
I had a lot of different things. I had I have an alcohol-free journal. It's purely a journal dedicated to my alcohol-free journey. And I've written in there day five, this and that, day six. I've written in the bad days when it's felt really, really hard. I've written in the amazing days when it's felt really, really good. I've written in key milestones, and it's I can flip back through that now, and I can see the highs and the lows, and it's very, very helpful. Quitlet. Alcohol Explained by William Porter has been an absolute game changer in the way that I view alcohol. I didn't realise that alcohol was the addictive substance. I thought it was a failing in me.
Oh, absolutely. And most of us don't realise that alcohol is a depressant. We think there's just it's just that we're weak.
Yeah.
So true.
And realising that just took a lot of the shame out of it. It's like, it's not a failing in me. It's just that I've got there maybe quicker than others may have got there. The way that he explains our journey with alcohol is just everything makes sense. Not just in me, but actually in the people around me and family members and all sorts. It's just really been fantastic.
Yeah.
Podcasts and alcohol-free drinks.
So what happened when you did start? The thing you were really nervous about was connecting with other people and friends. And what was it like the first few times? Was it tough for you?
It's been tough sometimes. Sometimes I've felt like there's been a lot of questions and it's felt like I've been under the spotlight. And because I wasn't necessarily feeling so strong in my foundation yet, that it felt difficult to manage. Sometimes I just haven't mentioned it, and I've had a Prosecco glass with Naughty, alcohol-free Prosecco. And because we're on Zoom, it hasn't been a problem. I do think that lockdown has made this a bit easier, actually. And I do feel that there's a new hurdles with going out to come through. But yeah, I have quite a lot of different things I can turn to. And I have a tracker on my phone that notifies me of my key milestones. And that's great.
Great. And and what has been the response from your friends and family? I mean, I'm guessing it's been a mixture, but have you found that people, I mean, you know, we all get so terrified about the sober shamers and about feeling like we don't fit in. Often I, you know, having spoken to a lot of people, I've found that in most cases, when you've overcome that first hurdle, when people have kind of gotten over the shock, particularly people that used to drink with the whole time, they're usually pretty cool about it. And you often get people who say, wow, you know, well done you. But this, you know, it's not always the case. What was it like for you in terms of reactions?
Actually, everybody has been supportive. I think a lot of it was my fear. I think a lot of it was in my mind. So the fear of stepping out and being different and doing things differently. It's something that I've just always done.
Did you tell the truth in inverted commas at the beginning? Did you ever say to anyone, you know, it makes me feel better? Or because no one can argue with that, right? Or did you just, you know, did you make a thing of it, or did you really make light of it?
I think it depends on how I felt that day. I have generally felt quite positive about it, so I think I've been quite positive about it because I do just feel so much better.
Well, I was just about to say, come on then, bring it on. Lay out some of the benefits that you've found. I know I haven't got long enough for them all, but tell me a few.
I'm not waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, lying in bed, worrying and feeling anxious. That was horrible. I sleep so much. I just sleep really soundly. Yeah. I fall asleep well, and I sleep through unless I get woken up by a child or a puppy. I sleep really well. I feel proud.
Yeah.
I feel more capable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling all the feelings. So that means, because the thing is, when you're numbing out the lows, you're actually also numbing out the highs.
Absolutely.
And so I'm feeling it all. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's intense, but I feel more capable. I feel more resilient. I feel, I think probably the biggest thing is the clarity, the mental clarity. It's amazing.
Amazing. I'm guessing you feel much more present as a parent as well. It's the best gift you could ever
Definitely.
Give, isn't it?
Mm. I've most people who know me well know that I've been on a real drive to understand parenting and child development and discipline, and I studied it at university. And even with all of that knowledge and all of my information that I had around discipline, I can still tell that I'm more patient.
Yeah.
I'm calmer. I'm more present, more playful, more energetic.
Yeah.
And more ready if they bowl in at 7 a.m. with a problem. Mm. Definitely has affected that in a really good way.
And you know, what's interesting as well, and I'm sure this links to your parenting, is, you know, what you were saying about the outcome you wanted was to have bring some joy back into your life. So have you found that?
Definitely. Mm. I had a trip to the park, actually, a couple of months ago. I posted it on the group and I was playing with my son. I was on the slide and the swings and I was running around. And then I noticed that I was a bit tired. I said to him, do you mind if I just sit on the bench for a minute? And he said, no, mummy, no problem. And we ran off. And I sat on the bench and it just occurred to me, like, I always used to feel tired and wished that I could be sitting down and wondering when we could go home. And that feels like a shame, but it is true, because I'd feel rough.
Absolutely. So, I know, when I look back and think how much of that joy I missed, that's my only regret. Amazing. And I must ask you about your music then, and the storytelling, as you say. So, Were you ever fearful that ditching the booze would affect your creativity? Because this is something that sometimes musicians and artists are concerned about, because they kind of have this idea in their head that drinking somehow accelerates in some way or enhances their creativity. Was it ever a concern for you?
Yeah, it did cross my mind. I always thought that when I'd had a few drinks, I was much more relaxed and much more open and much more like able to release the pressures of the day, and that would help me get in the zone. Mm. But the thing is, I've actually realised I'm a bit more of a morning person, and I can get in the zone in the day when my mind is clearer.
So in fact, has it made you more creative?
I'd say definitely 100%. Really? Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Amazing. So now when you're sharing your for the future, you know, when you're, as you say, sharing your stories, I mean, some of this is going to creep in, right?
Yeah, it feels scary. It feels like another step, and I probably will do that. I kind of said to myself I'd wait a year.
I can't imagine how if your music is all about your your emotional journey, and I can't imagine how it can't, because as anyone knows, it's such a massive thing, and it's very difficult to explain that to people. It's absolutely massive. It's bizarre that it is just not doing something. How can that be, how can that be your be all and end all? But it is, in a fantastically good way.
Definitely. It's had such a wide ranging impact on everything. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it'll come out in my music one day, but I think I need to feel ready to share that more publicly.
Definitely. Brilliant. All right. Well, we're going to play a little clip from one of your songs in a moment. You'll have to tell us how we can check them out. But first of all, I just wondered whether you have, I haven't prepped you on this, so don't worry if you can't think of anything, but I just thought you might have a couple of tips that you might want to share for somebody who is exactly like you, young woman who, has been out with friends and now is going to be kind of heading back out feeling super nervous about those connections. What would your top tips be?
I think that a good true friendship will stand this test. Mm. Yeah. And that's my hope. Mm. And I think I am already seeing that. Mm. I hope it's going to play out when we're all allowed back out again in real life.
Yeah.
I feel that it will. Also the alcohol-free drinks, your mantra of...
Yeah, keep the ritual, change ingredients. Yeah, absolutely. It works, amazing. Doesn't it? It works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So would you recommend then for people that they, for someone who's I don't know, just a month in or something, would you recommend that they tell their friends what's going on? They give them a heads up?
Trusted friends, people that you can rely on, that you know well, not necessarily the whole of Facebook. I think that having a support community like the Sober Club, of surrounding yourself with people and inspiration and input that just keeps reminding you of all of the joys that can come from this journey is has been really, really positive for me. I think it's wonderful to fill your eyes and your ears with podcasts and books and communities. And
yeah. I mean, that is the beauty of the Sober Club. You know, for there are some people who hardly ever post, of course, in our community. But sometimes they'll say to me, well, I'm reading what other people have said, and just reading someone else's post and reading that they, you know, chose to drink after a long period of not drinking has made me realize, hold on a minute, I'm going to be more vigilant. And reading just how joyful other people feel. Because I think initially in the early stages, and I'm sure you went through this. I mean, I certainly did. I at the beginning, I couldn't grasp that this was going to be something that I would enjoy. it felt like a misery. It felt like something that I had to do, because if I didn't, you know, goodness knows what would have happened to me health-wise. So in the early days, it really is that carrot on the end of a stick, that, you know, that sort of that possibility of what might be. And that's what you get to see in the Sober Club, isn't it? All the people sharing, they're all at different stages. I mean, some people have been sober for years and other people are kind of day one. And it's the way everyone can learn from each other, I think.
Definitely. And I have totally learned from the people who are ahead of me, who are sharing their inspiration, or when they have a key milestone come up and they post, it's just like feeding the soul. It's just like a reminder that this is going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
And I also feel, I'm starting to feel like I'm part of a little kind of counterculture, and it's actually awesome. It's really positive.
The tide is definitely turning, isn't it? And you know, the sober community kind of thing is definitely growing. Amazing. So tell us where we can find your music. What's the best place to check out your work?
Probably the best place would be my website, angelmalibu.com. My surname is spelled in a very complicated way because it originates from Mauritius, MAWLABAUX. That's angelmalibu.com.
Okay, great. And I'll pop that in the show notes as well. And then tell us a little bit about this track that we're just going to play a little clip from now. I mean, we can't chat to you and not have a taste of your music. So tell us a little bit about this one.
So I'm going to share with you a song that I wrote called Breathe, which I wrote when I was pregnant with my first son. And I was on holiday with a big group of friends and I was secretly pregnant because we weren't past the 3-month mark. And I woke up in the middle of the night, as you do, because you need to go to the toilet all the time. And I wrote this song in Hungary in a hotel room. And it was the roller coaster of emotions that you feel when you're carrying your first child and you don't know what to expect. You're excited and nervous. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, okay, we'll play a little clip of that. And I really look forward to when you do start to share some of your sober journey in your music. You know, we need more sober inspirational music out there. So so when you've got that out, come back on the podcast and we'll have another chat. Angel, thank you so much for your time. It's so great having you as part of the Sober Club. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Angel. Really appreciate you sharing your story and your music with us. We'll make sure we keep an eye out for what you do in the future. It's super exciting and I'm so thrilled for you. And for anyone who's doing this super hard thing, be really super proud of yourself. Honestly, as I was saying earlier, the way we beat ourselves up, often we just don't give ourselves credit either. You know, I've had some clients who've done they've had the hardest time. Really, they've had so much going on in their lives, but they have ditched the booze. They have. And you know, you can't beat that. It's just amazing. If you can do that, you really can rock anything, honestly. So well done you if you're on that path. And if you're just brand new to all of this and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know what she's on about, then hopefully I've piqued your interest. I did a little Facebook Live thing with Katie from the Quitlet Book Club on Facebook, so you can check that interview out if you get a chance. And I've done a couple of little radio interviews this week as well, obviously just talking about the book. If you haven't got a copy yet, well, obviously I'm going to remind you, Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. It's out now in, well, I was going to say in all good bookshops. I haven't actually checked, but by all means, go into a bookshop if you see one and ask if they've got it. And if they haven't, well, you know, they'll have to order it in, right? But obviously you can get it online as well. And you can get a signed copy from me if you'd like that. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace, and similarly on Facebook. On Facebook, it's Happy, Healthy, Sober. And I'm on Twitter, and you know, I'm easy to find, and you know, easy to connect with. So please do share what's going on for you. I just love getting messages from people who listen to the podcast, and they let me know what's inspired them. They let me know which podcast they enjoyed, or if there was some little nugget that somebody said that made a difference to them. So do take a moment to do that if that feels right to you. If you want to share any kind of feedback, I'd really appreciate it. And obviously, if you'd share details of this podcast and my book with your friends and anyone you think might be interested, then it would be amazing. You know, let's spread this word about positive sobriety, okay? Positive sobriety. Let's spread the word that this is not about giving up. It's about only about what you're gaining. It really is only about what you're gaining. So I look forward to seeing you same time next week, and you know where to find me. If you're doing this hard thing, do be proud of yourself. Do give yourself a big hug. And if you're struggling, always reach out for help. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.